welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast, Regular Legislative Meeting, Complete Recording, January 10, 2017.
Use of fund balance and cutting expenditures. In in terms of our timeline for the 17-18 budget, we are in good shape. As a matter of fact, Ms. Michaels is a little bit ahead of the game right now, which is always good. Onto our present budget, we look at our present budget, we get a snapshot of it as to where we are halfway through the year. Overall, we're pretty much right on track. If you want to go on our website, you can see a breakdown of our expenditures. Instead of by the 100 series, which can be a little bit confusing, Ms. Michaels also broke it down into categories like transportation, debt service, so it's a little bit easier to read. Finally, during the facilities meeting, which revolved around our five-year capital improvement plan, we look at the money involved in accomplishing these tasks. By the end of the year, in terms of our capital reserve fund, on a positive note, we have approximately $10 million in there, and with money that we borrowed from Cedarbrook that will be left over, we should have approximately another $9 million, which will give us $19 million in that fund, which is critically important for what we have in our plan for EP and improvements at the high school. What we try not to do is touch the assigned fund balance, because when you have a good, strong fund balance, this helps keep our rating high, and which our bond rating high, which saves us money when we issue our bonds. We might have to borrow as much as $66 million over the next 2 years to do capital improvements at EP and the high school. Because of this, our debt service could climb up to $14 million by June of 2020. Overall, though, our long-term debt outlook would still be on a strong footing because our bond rating is high and we have a strong fund balance. As you can see, the administration and the board will have some tough decisions to make in order to balance our budget for 17-18. That concludes my report, Mr. Anglin. And our next meeting is in room 119 on Tuesday, February 7th, immediately after the facilities meeting. And once again, the public is encouraged to attend. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. And now we have Educational Affairs, Ms. Anglin.
Thank you, Mr. Anglin. This is my last report as co-chair of the affairs. I pass the baton over to Brad Allen. So for the last meeting of the Affairs Committee, we had on December the 20th and included three agenda items. An update on the curriculum audit, CHS graduation requirements, and an update on project-based learning, a pilot that will be rolled out in 2017-18. Dr. Smith started out the meeting with an update on the curriculum audit. A few months ago, the recommendation of the administration supporting the HCMSI, a third-party independent company, to conduct a curriculum audit. The purpose of the audit was to evaluate the current scope, sequence, and practical application of CDFF Cheltenham's curriculum. In order to fully evaluate our curriculum, CMSI spent about 3 days in the district conducting individual and group interviews, reviewed a vast amount of curriculum documents, conducted walkthroughs, surveyed teachers and students, and visited classrooms. As part of this process, CMSI interviewed a cross-section of the district personnel, including members of the school board, the superintendent, central office administrators, building principals, directors of every level, the supervisor of special education, the class administrator, and parent leadership from SEEP, CAA, and CEA. Document requests again were fairly voluminous and included demographic data, the strategic plan, organizational charts, as well as facility studies and the discipline referral information. We understand that CMSI's findings will be available in 90 days in a report that's going to be designated as a deficit report. This is fairly unusual. Typically, when we engage a consultant, we're usually looking to see how well we're doing. This is intentionally intended as a deficit report to identify gaps and opportunities and prioritize changes with respect to our curriculum. According to CMSI, it will take approximately 3 to 5 years to implement and prioritize all the changes that we may need to make to our curriculum. Once we receive CMSI's report, the administration will share the report with cabinet and the principals, and will convene the curriculum instruction professional development team, which will then work on prioritizing changes and working on developing changes to our curriculum. Next on the agenda was a presentation by Dr. McFaul, principal of the high school, and Ms. Collins, director of secondary education, who proposed changes to the high school graduation requirements. Currently, students need 112.5 credits to graduate. They currently earn 5 credits per major and 2.5 credits per minor. And students currently take 4 years of English, 3 years of math and science, 3.5 years of social studies, 4 years of PE, 1 year of college with 29.5 credits for elective coursework. To bring our credit requirements in line with other school districts in Montgomery County and provide more flexibility for students to take electives outside of the required coursework, administration proposed that students will now need going forward, on a going forward basis, really starting in 2018, with full implementation in 2020, 23 credits to graduate. So we're not going from 112.5 to 23 credits. So it's basically each course now will be worth 1 credit versus 5 credits for a major course, like math or English, and 2.5 for an elective subject. But I would clarify that somebody left here thinking, what's going on? What are you guys doing as a board? EFX students will still be required to take 4 credits of English, 3 credits of math, 3.5 of social studies, 3 credits of science with an additional credit of math or science, bringing the combined math and science credits up to additional 1.5 credits. This will increase exposure to STEM-related courses for students. Proposed as well as a 1 credit for world language and 1 credit of PE, which is a reduction of the current 4 credits for PE, but will provide more diverse offerings related to holistic health experiences for our students. The new graduation requirements will be implemented over a 3-year phase-in period, starting with the class of 2018, with full implementation by the class of 2020. There was a robust discussion after this presentation with a recommendation that seemed to be kind of somewhat singular in focus in terms of adding or consideration of adding additional required credits in world language starting at the elementary school. The last agenda item on the update was an update on the project-based learning pilot presented by Mr. Hawk, the social studies chair of high school. An interdisciplinary design team, is putting together the curriculum for the project-based learning pilot. Starting in the fall of 2017, a cohort of approximately 120 ninth and 10th grade students will embark upon project-based learning. Project-based learning is an instructional strategy to provide equity, build community, increase engagement, and develop 21st century skills using projects as a base designed to provide meaningful and engaged learning. The pilot curriculum will be developed by the PBL teaching cohort with support by High Tech High out of San Diego and the Workshop School in West Philadelphia. Mr. Pop provided some illustrations of examples of comparisons between traditional projects in a regular classroom and those kinds of projects that would be engaged in project-based learning. One of the examples that he provided I thought was pretty clear was in a traditional classroom model, students may be completing a workshop on Newton's Law, for example, in comparison to doing collaborative group work, developing a new sport to teach play on the moon in a project-based learning classroom. In order to measure the success of the project-based learning pilot, we'll be looking at student engagement, perception, performance, attendance, parent perception and re-enrollment will all be evaluated. And from a student perspective, measures of success will include individual assessment, formative assessments, 21st century skill development, and self, peer, teacher, and community evaluation. In order to ensure the success of the project-based learning pilot, a cohort of 75 pilot teachers will embed themselves at High Tech High in San Diego for about a week to experience the PBL culture and develop the curriculum. And in the spring and the summer of 2017 this year, they will also continue to develop the curriculum in preparation for the rollout of project-based learning in the fall. were interested in participating in project-based learning. The 9th and 10th graders were, I attended a 90-minute interactive workshop facilitated by the workshop school, with 9th grade students receiving additional presentation during the assembly. The PBL experience with the workshop school was videotaped, and the board had the opportunity to observe that 90 portions of the 90-minute interactive workshop. And what was evident in reviewing that video was a high level of engagement and collaboration, both visually that was experienced by the board in looking at the video, but expressed by the students who participated in the workshop. There will be ongoing professional development with a plan at 11th grade cohort of PBL cohort in 2018-2019. However, PBL is only an option for traditional coursework. Other classes will be offered at the high school. Students in the PBL pilot will also be taking a series of classes with their PBL cohorts, but will have time in their student day to take other classes at the high school. I invite you to review any of the educational affairs presentations which are posted on our website. The next educational affairs committee is Tuesday, January 17th. At 6:30
in
Room
102.
Welcome.
Thank you, Ms. Edward.
You're welcome.
Now we have facilities. Mr. Carlin.
Thank you. The facilities committee meeting met on January 3rd, 2017. Following the approval of the minutes from the December 16th meeting, the meeting discussed the Cedar Brook construction update that was largely as described by Dr. Bob Yarrow in this meeting. Also, subsequent to the facilities committee meeting, Dr. Marseille sent a letter out to the community about the status of the Cedar Brook project on January 6th, earlier this month. The meeting then discussed the Cedar Brook change order that I'll talk about later in the meeting to take action on, from borough construction for concrete work in the total of $253,418.67. This work is to address issues that were identified during the renovation of the existing building and now have to be addressed. The meeting then went and talked about different aspects around existing facilities for the alternative Cedar Brook locations, including Ivy Hill and also possible future locations, including the modulars. There was a detailed discussion about various options, various scenarios around those facilities and also the St. Joseph's building, which is one of the current locations for part of the Cedar Brook community, and various conversations, discussion, investigations are ongoing, including looking at renovating the modular buildings at the EP campus, and also looking at and identifying some traffic transportation logistical issues if that building were to be housed in modulars. There was discussion about the modulars if were to be housed, about them being renovated and being used again possibly in some capacity for that Cedar Brook renovation, and also possibly in the future for other projects as well. There was also a discussion that was led by Dr. Bobby about the five-year facility plan. And the five-year facility plan follows up on earlier work that was done by KCBA Architects that identified $151 million in renovation, improvement, and other work related to the existing school buildings. After a detailed review analysis by the administration, the proposed cost for a five-year plan was reduced to over $83 million, with most of that cost being associated with the renovation or rebuild of the Elkins Park School, and for some media improvements to the high school. There'll be further investigation and review about the Elkins Park School in terms of options and various cost scenarios that will occur going forward before decisions are made. Also, as part of the conversation, there was discussion and presentation about the Capital Reserve Fund, about unencumbered debt, about additional borrowing capacity, about the possible impact of borrowing additional money on the debt service for the school district, and that will open to further evaluation, consideration, investigation, and future deliberation by the administration and school board on courses of action to take for specific work to be done at the high school, and also the Elkins Park School, and also some other associated work. The next meeting for facilities will be held on February 7th, following the 7 p.m. agenda building meeting, and the public is encouraged and welcome to attend that meeting. Right. We also do have an action item. The action item is recommended approval of change order. The administration recommends the approval of a change order for Burr Construction in the amount of $253,418.67 for the Searbrook Middle School project. And again, this is associated with concrete work to address issues identified during the renovation project. May somebody please make that motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Moved.
Aye.
Mr. Fishbein, Mr.
Greco.
Thank you. And we'll take a roll call vote, starting on my left, please.
Aye.
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 We have a legislative update from Ms. Hagley.
This will be brief. We can definitely expect challenges for public education at the state and federal level in the coming year. At this federal level, we can expect the incoming administration to increase school choice and prioritize education as some of its primary educational goals. At the state level, we face a structural deficit that will negatively impact any additional funding for public education as part of the 2017-2018 budget. School districts should expect that there'll be continued efforts proposed this year that were presented last year with respect to eliminating property taxes and replacing those with increased personal income tax and sales taxes. So we'll keep our eyes and ears open for those proposed pieces of legislation. In the event this occurs, the Montgomery County Intermediate Unit has been reaching out to district business managers and asking them to provide data to really determine how much of an impact it would be on school districts if, in fact, property taxes were eliminated as a source for funding public education. The 2017-2018 General Assembly returned to Harrisburg on January 3rd, where 39 new legislators and 197 returning members were sworn in. Following the swearing-in ceremonies, the State Senate and House adopted rules for conduct. One interesting thing was that the House, following the Senate's direction, adopted a shortened period of time from 24 hours to 6 hours for review of proposed legislation before a vote can be taken. That's a it's consistent with what the Senate's doing, but that's a significant condensed period of time to review sometimes hundreds of pages of proposed legislation. The House and Senate will reconvene on January 23rd with Representative Dave Pinkelman and Senator John Eichelberger heading up the House and Senate Education Committees respectively. Stay tuned for Governor Wolf's budget address on February the 7th, where he'll present his proposed 2017-18 budget. The Senate and House Appropriations Committees will convene hearings in February and early March to discuss Governor Wolf's proposed budget. Anticipated challenges for the new proposed budget are anticipated because of the state's projected $600 million revenue shortfall. However, on a lighter note, good news. According to a Quality Counts report issued in Education Week recently, Pennsylvania ranks 8th in the nation with respect to implementation of the federal Every Student Succeeds Act. That's an act that we have to put in place by the fall of 2017-2018. The report looked at changes for success index, a K-12 achievement overall, and school finances. Overall, Pennsylvania received a score of 80.2 out of 100, which is above the national average of 74.2. That concludes our report.
Thank you, Ms. Hagley.
Excuse me.
Mr. Rackow.
Yeah, I just want to check one thing because on the agenda on the meetings that list the next policy meeting at 8 o'clock, and you said it's 8:30.
That was my error, I stand correct.
Which is it?
It's 8 o'clock.
It is 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you
for that, Mr. Rackow. A lot of things there in that legislative update that I always skip over. I apologize for that. But of interest is, of course, tomorrow going to be in hearings of the Secretary of Education in Washington, D.C., the most, and the with Harrisburg. We do need to keep close attention on what's happening with the funding. And it should be a point of interest to all of us, the fact that they are now reduced the time to review legislation 6 hours, as you said, something that could be hundreds and hundreds of pages. Just some interesting things that really stuck out on your report.
Mr. Rackow?
Mr. Rackow.
I believe the boss here has been put off for a week.
Okay, thank you for that.
Parents
all set to engage tomorrow. Thank you for that.
There's good reason.
reports and standard.
Thank you. Under personnel, there is a consent voting agenda and also informational items. As a consent agenda, one, appointment of temporary professional employees, A. Two, appointment of long-term substitute teachers, A, B, and C. Three, appointment of support staff, A and B. Four, salary adjustment, A. Five, leadership stipend positions, A. And six, extra duty, extra pay, A.
So thank you. May I have a motion, Mr. Nelson, please second. And I would ask for a vote, please.
Aye.
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 And aye. Motion carries.
Thank you. And informational items, we have one, resignations, A through E.
Thank you, Ms. Sager. And now we have educational affairs, Dr. Smith.
We're presenting as a consent agenda, one, approval of conferences, A through E. Two, approval of educational service agreements, A. Three, approval of intermediate unit agreement. Four, approval of volunteers.
Thank you. Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second. Mr. Rackow, Mr. Malloy, and call the vote, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. And aye. The motion carries. Thank you, Dr. Smith. Moving along, we have, of course, financial affairs and Dr. Michaels.
Thank you. Financial affairs agenda will be submitted as a consent agenda. One, approval of the 2016-17 budget transfers, A, as submitted. Two, approval of payments, A, as listed. Three, approval of Eastern Center for Arts and Technology 2017-18 operating budget, A. Four, authorization to submit plan con part I for concrete floor prep, A. And five, authorization to submit plan con part H, project financing, A.
Second motion.
Second.
Mr. Rackow, Mr. Cohen, any board comments or questions? Yes, Ms. Hagel.
Just a comment on the number three, the approval of the Eastern Center Arts and Technology 2017-2018 operating budget. While that's an increase of 1.71% over our 2016-2017 budget amounts that were paid to Eastern, I think it's well spent. The students get a lot of value out of Eastern. Ms. Ray reported earlier about the veterinary medicine program, which is a very unique program for technology schools and one now that we're offering our students. So I'm definitely in support of all of these. This is a consent agenda. But I just wanted to know my support in particular to the Eastern Center operating budget.
Any other comments or call the vote, please?
Aye.
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 Aye, and the motion carries. That doctor was just honorary. I'm sorry. Let's see. We are at the we're at the point of public comments. If anybody has any comments for the board, please approach the podium. Thank you, public. Our future meeting dates are as listed, and if there is no further business,
motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivation 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us, and have a great day.